morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's the time of the early morning that we look at a face of business and everything that affect our bread and butter. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM Namibia. What are you doing? Where are you? And are you awaking? Are you waking up to make sure that, you know, the task that is ahead is completed? We know it's very cold, but, you know, the fact that other people are waking up regardless of the weather, we must make sure that we also do the same.
Warm up with Red Hot Deals at WB. Get 5 kg Best Choice White or Light Brown Sugar for $92.99. 4 kg Cadilla Mixed Chicken Portions for only $194.99. A 250 gram Nestle Hot Chocolate Pouch for $49.99. And 1 liter Clover Ultra UHT Milk for just $21.99. See more month-end specials at furmanbrock.com.
Yeah, from Woman Brock, we continue. We are continuing with the business of the day, especially looking at what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening in the world, and indeed what is happening at home, what is happening in Namibia. And looking at our parliament there, looking at our parliament, you can see that parliament resumed, and we have a lot of things to deal with. I was reading it. There was a post by, you know, some of the lecturers from IUM speaking about, you know, working with oil, working with fish. It's in the form of a comedy, but it's indicating to you that those things are sleepy, because if you are not handling them well, you find yourself down. But, you know, must be able to understand the debate is still continuing. The debate is still continuing, either it's in parliament or either it's beyond parliament, to say who is in total control of Namibia energy sector, and are those who are participating in the Namibian energy sector participating on equal basis? Are they getting any favor? Either it's oil and gas, either it's green energy, and many other aspects. To say, are they participating based on competency or based on connection? And you know, in Namibia, it's quite very difficult also to differentiate, because one thing which I've also observed is that there is always a hatred, or there is always a tension. Maybe it's because of class conflict, as Karl Marx said, between those who have and those who do not have. Every rich person in the village is hated without him knowing, just because he has things. Some people may think a person has pride. Some people may think that the person did not acquire those resources legitimately. But where do we differentiate between a hardworking person, a person who is influenced by connection, and a person who is doing business illegally? Where do we draw the lines between somebody who works so hard and also somebody, you know, who is pushed and much, you know, connected or using political muscles? Because in Namibia, we must also be very, very careful. If we are not handling our issue very well, we may end up becoming our own enemy. We may end up focusing much on the fight rather than on progress. And it's not correct if you have 85% criticism on issues that we are all involved into. If we have 85% criticism, we must be able to know that there must be something that we are not doing right, because the question should be, who is going to do the right thing? Who is going to handle Namibian industries? When are we going to see the difference between what is you know, right, and what is wrong? And understand that the term for the Director General of ACC is coming to an end, and the question is, who is your next candidate? Who do you think is a qualified person for the, you know, for the candidate of Director General, since the formation of Anti-Corruption Commission in 2005-2006 there, that Noah, the Palace Noah has been there. He's been a DG all those years. It's around 20 years. It's around 20 years being at the helm of ACC. With all the criticism, with all the progress, with all the challenges, is the term going to be extended? Oh, we are going to get another one. And when you are going to get another one, who is that person and what quality? And observing from far, you may be able to understand that it's not a walk in the park. You need the crocodile skin. You need to be, to have a thick skin, especially if you are the head of ACC. Because you are not only dealing with ordinary people, not only dealing with criminals, you're also dealing with people that you know. Because if you are told that your cousin is doing something, you have to act, because that is a position that you said you are going to defend. And let's see, we're going to take over. Can we also give it to a woman to see if there is a competent one? Can we give it also? And also test to say for how long is the next DG going to last, and what lesson person need to learn? Because whatever institution you are getting into, you need to make sure that you learn from somebody who has been there. Either you are coming with your new plan or new strategy, you need to make sure that you learn the tricks, especially from the old dogs. You need to learn the tricks, so how to handle things. And when you understand that, that is the only way that you'll be able to implement what you came with. But let's see. And maybe we should also come up with, or maybe Parliament should also propose a public interview of the next DG. How they are going to do it. Depends on their creativity, because it's a lawmaking house. It's a house which has much power. Decision and protect, the country. But that is what is standing. The conversation for today, from the hour of 7 there, we'll look at what Zimbabwe will bring, what Zimbabwe will be able to bring in United Nations Security Council. Is it just another form of status? Or they are going to do what they say? What influence do we have from the southern part of Africa, where you see that they also got the position as a non-permanent member? It's not the first time African countries get the position of a non-permanent, non-permanent member of United Nations Security Council. But the other thing that you need to know is that even though you are a non-permanent member, there are a certain degree of influence that you can be able to have. And there are also things that you are not, you will not be able to do. And that will be the discussion from the hour 7 there. Looking at the continent of Africa. Looking at the continent of Africa, it is stated that, there is a bit of death crisis continue in Senegal. If you look at the review of Business Africa, debt crisis, and also putting Senegal at the spotlight of economic crisis, particularly when you have an intensification of the power struggle, especially between the president and his former prime minister. Stated that carried to power by wave of hope in 2024, President Faye and also Sokko made economic, sovereign institutional reform and transparent governance as a cornerstone of their political agenda. And they started very well at a good note until they come to the point where they start fighting. Now the question also that we need to ask ourselves is that when we start fighting ourselves, is it really that we want to fight ourselves or somebody has influenced us? Because it's happened a lot where a country have good policies. They were just about to transform their country. They were about to pay their unreported debts. Then there is a fight already. Among the top influential people, is it external influence or is it real that people that have been friends or they have been political allies for a long time since their youth age and took over the country, all of a sudden end up fighting and also becoming, fierce rival? What would happen, and what could be the real cause? Because some of the things must be looked at very well. It has been seen in many cases that an African country wants to transform. Burkina Faso came with good policies, especially under Captain Ibrahim Traore. And everyone was clapping hands, and Africa had hope. Even democratic governments, they were thanking Ibrahim Traore due to his economic reform. Now the question that you need to ask yourself, where is Burkina Faso now? What major progress have happened? What are some of the common threats that the country is facing? Is there political stability? Is there, one center of power within the military of Burkina Faso? Or there is a division? And who is influenced? And how many attempts to overthrow that of who have also come with, ambitions of transforming not only the country, but also the continent? So, looking at what's happening in Senegal, it's indicated that the country now is faced with a threat of default and also weighing down by, a massive debt burden. A new government has been formed with a priority mission, reopening negotiation with IMF. But although Senegal have shown its intention of reaching an agreement with IMF in June or by the 30th of June, there is a fear of that agreement not to happen because of the internal political battle that is happening within Senegal. Now, let's go to a short commercial break. From there, we'll be looking at Somalia, especially where they did not sleep. They are not sleeping in Somalia. It's because of fear of war to erupt because there is, competition. There is also political rivals, especially the former prime minister. And also the president, and you also see that Somalia soldiers took on patrol on the street. But the question that we are asking ourselves is that why is that happening only in Africa? Because people are looking for extension. Head of state are looking for extension of their attempts. And that is one of the things that is causing, unrest in Somalia. So let's look at a short commercial break. Come back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-2222.
Step right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 4kg Real Good IQF Chicken mixed portions for only $209.99. That's a big deal. And 5kg Polana Elbows or Macaroni Pasta for a low $124.99 each. Valid until 7 June 2026. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival, only at ShopRite. Plus, you could stand to win one of 250 trolley dashes. Simply buy any three or more participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 7 June. T's and C's apply.
Or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete okoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okwene ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanoa na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And looking at you know, what is happening in the continent of Africa. You know, the traditional healers in DRC are saying they can cure Ebola. They can say they are indicating that they can cure Ebola. And there's a lot of debate. There's a lot of debates going on. The question is that were they given opportunity, were they given support materials? Because they are saying they have been around there, and there is a possibility that they are going to cure Ebola. And if that is the truth, is it within the African understanding to assist those who have knowledge of dealing with, you know, diseases? So we are waiting for somebody to come. We're waiting for somebody to come with a vaccine that we do not know, rather than looking at what our doctors are saying. And those are the people that have been around, especially when there was no medication. But the problem is also that currently, as we are speaking, in the world of economic opportunists, you really not be able really to find out, you know, who is a real one and who is not a real one. And even the aspect of traditional healing was supposed to be expanded, especially to preserve those knowledge. But now people are mixing them. They are mixing traditional healing with witch doctor and all these things. Now you do not know even who is who. But there are certain diseases that even it has been proven that even the Western, you know, science has failed to cure, but Africa, I used to assist that. But it stated that in DRC, And there's an indication that there's no vaccine. Traditional healers in there says they can cure Ebola. And in Ituri, a province, which is the epicenter of Ebola. There's an indication that there's still no vaccine or official treatment, but there are indications to say there is Mariam Kambika hold up a lunch, you know, handful of leaves. Mariam Kambika is one of the experts there in traditional healing, indicated that there is a cure for it. And when you look at the World Health Organization, the World Health Organization did not really approve other forms of treatment. But the question is that when things get hard, what can you do to try? What can you do to try? I remember during COVID-19, people used to go to Etosha. They also look for elephant dung so that they can use them to... They can use them for steaming. And even people that were known of advanced stage, when things got tough, people have to go to Etosha until, the ministry say, no, it's not correct. It's not correct. But one way or the other, there was a certain degree of assistance from that which is not explored. And it's also a question that we should also ask ourselves to say, when we are at this point in time, if there are leaves that have been used by, our ancestors, what can we do to make sure that they are tested? What can we do to make sure that they are turned into a modern medication so that when trouble comes, then people can be cured? Because even in Madagascar during COVID-19, there was a certain medication that was used by the locals, and it was known to be assisting people to recover, but it's only that it was not accepted by WHO. But one thing that people need to do is not only about what the world is saying, but also about believing in yourself until you bring that to an advanced standard. Looking at that, I was impressed to look at Namibia kick. Kickboxing. I was impressed. I did not really know well that maybe we also have kickboxers that can also be able also to win beyond the country. If you look at our social media, if you look at our social media page, you'll be able to see Namibia. Namibian fighter that is Veja Hinda knocked out South African Becky Combo in round one of extreme fighting champion, and that is in Johannesburg, South Africa. And it's a knockout that I did not see before. It's a knockout that And I think to end to Martin Mukungu, you realize that maybe we have talent. It's only that people are not given that enough opportunity. People are not given that enough support. People are not given that enough facilities that, we can be able also to fight. And we can also be able to bring the flank or to raise the flank of the country, up high. And remember, like any other Friday, I will be able to give you what is in the Villager newspaper, what is in the Villager newspaper for today, especially regarding, recent development, either is in terms of technology, either it is the area of technology, either is the area of AI, or the area of diplomacy. Know that we'll also be able to give you the content of the Villager, a newspaper for today, so that when you go in the weekend, you know exactly, what you need to do, especially if you are a business person, if you are running, you know, an SME and also a responsible citizen, will be able to give you that content. It's 39 minutes, 39 minutes past the hour of 6. And, you know, you must ask yourself a question. You must ask yourself a question to say, if you are sleeping this time, if you are sleeping this time, who is going to prepare the future for your children? If you are sleeping this time, who is going to prepare, you know, the future for your grandkids? And what are you going to leave for your children? If God just pick you up now, are you going to say, wait, I'm not done? Or you are going to say, I've done enough? What content are you confident that you have done well so that your children, even when you are not there, they will be able to survive? Even for 1 year, or you are just there also, you know, by the grace of God, or you are all on autopiloting. So we need to ask ourselves those questions, especially in the morning, because the beginning of the day says a lot about how the day is going to end. Because if you start a day with complaint, and somebody start a day with a prayer, somebody start a day with meditation, or somebody start a day with going to the gym, it's quite a difference. It's quite a difference because, you know, it depends on how you position your mind and also what you'll be able to do, especially moving forward. And coming to South Africa, the well-known South African advocate, that is Thembeka Nqokhayi Thombi, was sworn in as, acting judge at South Africa Constitutional Court. And, you know, he's among the youngest lawyers to reach that, milestone, especially not only in South Africa, but also in SADC, apart from Madlanga himself, who became one of the youngest judges in South Africa. But it's quite an interesting development to look at the development in terms of legal fraternity. And he's a man who have been at the center of critical profile, high profile cases. And the question is that when he's appointed to this constitutional court, is it a promotion or is it a demotion? Is it promotion or is to remove him from the real battle of representing people, especially in court? Because once you become a judge, you have to change, and you have to look on what the bench has to say. But there's also an interesting thing to see who is going to represent Julius Malema at the appeal, especially when he's given, 5 years in jail, although there's an opportunity to appeal. And is that the right move or is a political cut too? Because sometimes you get promotion, but it's not really about the promotion of you because people like you, but to move away from that position because you are blocking things. But let's hope that was done with a good intention. But it's quite a big achievement, especially from black lawyers in Africa. And yeah, looking at in Namibia, what you see between the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Education and also the student organization, you can say it's quite not a good thing, because since we were at university, there is always misunderstanding. There is always a fight, especially on students' funding. To say why there is a delay in student fundings, why there is incoherence in terms of Namibian institutions. Why there is a delay in terms of releasing of funds so that students can go to school. And you also find out that institution also, and you see that these are the institutions from the same mother. that we're just supposed to coordinate the institution from, you know, with one line ministry within the ministry to say. But when it comes to coordination, the question is that why we did not change? Because if I have to take you to 2014-15, you see that the issue of student funding has always been a problem. The issue of student funding has always been a problem. Although money is there, there's always a delay. There are always students protesting. I remember there was a time, I think it's, can't remember correctly, but I think it's 2017, where you see students, a time in University of Namibia, student NUST, they have to come and protest. And I think that time the Minister of Higher Education was Dr. Kanji Murangi. And there was a time that they call Parapara. They call, you know, special force, and we're beaten up. And if you ask parliamentarians such as Ina Hengari them and Karora, they'll be able to tell you. But at the center of that has always been the issue of funding. To say, is there anybody, and you just do not know to say, is it institutional incoherence, or there is somebody who wants to tap with the fund? If the fund is there, why there is a problem? Why there is cutting of funds? Why there is always a student complaining? Why there are always institutions not talking? Why students are always being pressured, particularly in time of exam and also in time of getting the results? And you are not completing your university with a very good heart. There is always an aspect of things not need to be clarified. But you can also see that there's also a bit of, a delay in terms of student fundings. And why is it that the case? Why can't that be solved? Because if we continue to be like this, whether we integrate or we don't integrate institution together, problems will still be there, especially when it comes to finance. And finance, we realize that finance has always become a problem. When there is money be given to people, there is always a problem there. Either there is a delay, and you're asking yourself a question to say, are the people trying to get the money or what? Because it's bringing also suspicions once money is allocated. And believe me, you, the Minister of Education is one of, is the number one ministry that got a lot of money. And the question is that when are the students going to be sorted out? And when you also have mass protest that are being planned. But I think looking at that, my colleague will also be able to focus directly on that, especially when he's going to speak about, the issue of student affairs. So let us look at a short commercial break and come back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level.
Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipurani ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewetike kovano hile koshiwala konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado ili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ngetashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ningepata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of its staff. The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, that is what is happening. That is what's happening in Namibia and also in the continent of Africa. And to look a bit in the Middle East, I know that the tension between Iran and the United States of America is not yet at the end, and preparations are still ongoing. And strikes, although not massive strike, they are still happening, particularly Iran and the neighbors targeting U.S. Facilities. And there is also a question about the supreme leader of Iran. There are indications to say up to now he did not show, he was not seen in public since the 28th of February. 2026, after the attack of Iran by joint operation between the USA and also Israel that led to the death of, Ayatollah Khamenei, and also around, 30 of his commanders. It was the deadliest attack. But looking at that content, it's quite, important to look at Namibia and also ask a question to say, is this a real time to go and fight each other, or is time to correct each other? Is it the right time to corrupt, although there's no good time to corrupt, while we have to work out on our energy system? Because the future is still, not guaranteeing that that you are going to have oil price at an understandable price, and there is still high chance that oil may be reviewed this month. It's not me who is saying; those are circumstances that are happening at an international platform, and there is still high chance that commodity price continue to raise, and that will eventually not only affect the transportation price, but also eventually affect the price of transportation and individuals too, especially the downtrodden. That's why the question that we need to ask ourselves is that what can we do so far? Because when you are reading Namibian, current affairs, when you are looking at new reports, it's battle after battle. And you're asking yourself a question to say, why can't we do things in the right way? And is it loopholes between our policy system? Is it loopholes between our constitution? is it the loopholes between our, you know, our legal framework, because every day you see something done illegally. If something is not done illegally, something which is omitted, but when are we going to find a way to do things at, you know, at a professional level and at the standard level? And I think we should also blame our people, particularly in the legal profession, to say, one thing that we see also from the legal profession is that intelligent lawyers, they see the weakness in the law system so that they can push to the advantage of their clients. But a wise lawyer is also somebody who can say, okay, I've used that loopholes and I have seen the weakness in the system. But in the long run, can we advise on fixing those, you know, loopholes? Because at the end of the day, either it's business deals, either it's agreements in terms of natural resources, either it's, you know, awarding of tenders, there are always question marks. There are always question marks. Is it really the loopholes? Or what is that we are doing as a country, particularly at the good governance level? Those are the questions that we should ask ourselves, from a constituency councillor to a governor, then until the top structure, to say, is the system an enemy of progress? And if the system is an enemy of progress, what can be done to review, revise, and do things legally? Because what you see, I don't think there is any, there are few corporate, especially SOEs, that have, for the past 5 years, never involved in legal battles. It's almost unlikely for them not to, you know, involve into legal battles. Either it's governance, either it's leadership affairs, either it's tendering. Either it's people that they run away with finance, they run away with money. And you're asking yourself to say, Okochi Kohonga, are we going to 2030? Or we are just, you know, facing each other? And when are we going to strengthen our institutions? We there is a lot of things that we should also blame ourselves. To say, we are in the process of getting out oil from underground. It has been seen. It's coming. It can even come out the next week. It can come out anytime. But is our house in order? The house is not in order. Particularly in the legal, I mean, in the regulations, you know, fraternity. There is green hydrogen. There is other investment coming into Namibia. The question is that, what's happened to our regulations? Many holes, many loopholes. And intelligent people are waiting to pass through those holes. And when you are going to follow them, you are not going to catch them. You can speak about the medical fraternity. And I'm very happy with Ruvidao. I think the good doctor, we underestimated her. But she found it's not only a rotten system. She found a system that is not serving people. And people must not blame the good doctor. They must look at what has been there, what has been tolerated. And I think it also proved that a young person can also be able to do things. But the other thing that we also need to look at is that we need to ask ourselves in terms of progress, because we are still not be able to present progress. We are still... not only crisis management, but we are still dealing with, you know, prosecuting each other, taking each other to courts, you know, tendering process being questioned, institutional coherence being questioned, fundings are delayed. And the question is that who is a counter progress, who is a counter revolutionary, who is countering the progress of Namibia? Let's come back shortly.
kwathira shisho, pagyotari kukwathere opoguro kara uwasira ya kweni o chisho. Watuchi ithana Basic Mental Health First Aid Course. Haiga njua o shari chamhongi kwa mboka iri iyo, iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo na kene una okutongorora o madidiriko o petameko yena cha nupiakadhi nenge o mafidakano o pamadhira viro kuchane o mokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga pamwe nangoe. Osho otopewa unongo kene una okwea kwa thera nukwea pa ea bidhido yiri mwonjira. Omanga upia kadiboka inauru darara. Kuyerere o unji na kene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na. E hangono maradura thano ododhina okurandurwa. NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Matuka, fika kwa ShopRite, morwa o Big Low Price Carnival. Konda ndo onine no kupita kama na mini mangashi. Okay, jine, the packaging timbo yonju kwa rumba kanithwa yo real good. Otro mathirgari no way, no sendo kino kwa way, no way. Oto keri mwana way peni konda ndo ilingao. Tarane kwa okay, jine, tano dhopora na elbows, nenge macaroni pasta. Kutura shike kino mino kwa mbali na neno sendo kino kwa way, no way, keche. Ziriko sigo kakheri gayo ni nuvo. Oko, ShopRite, kuke, ishewe, oto vuro kusimtana kamwe kwa mutembo mathirgari no mino kwa tano. Landa itatu nengo inji minimata ikuza ombinga. Usimtane mo ShopRite, Big Low Price Carnival. Ithi gathano tari kurumu kakheri gayo ni umpango na mautho. O vena okurandurwa.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And as I indicated that today we'll be speaking about Zimbabwe being part of those countries that are so lucky to be, you know, to be voted to be part of a United Nations Security Council. And when you look at 81 years ago, 8 years ago, the establishment of United Nations, I was not only global peace, but promoting of human rights, security, and also human advancement in the world. And apart from having general members who sit every year, there is a very important body that is called the United Nations Security Council. And that is the center of the institutional strategic decisions, especially in accomplishing the mandates of UN, especially when it has to do with issues of war, issues of peace resolution, issues of deployment of missions, peacekeeping missions, and also putting sanctions. And that automatically means that once we have an effective United Nations Security Council, then it means that you also have effective multilateral institution. At the same time, you also have a peaceful world that does not tolerate terrorism and does not tolerate human trafficking and does not tolerate the invention of other countries. But what is interesting is that there was an option, there has been always an option. To say, apart from having permanent members, apart from having five permanent members in the council, there are also non-permanent members that can join. That very, very important body, especially with a limited role if you are a non-permanent members. But the very interesting thing about Zimbabwe is that where it came from. Because if I have to take you 10 years ago or 15 years ago, Zimbabwe was not a country that was having much respect, particularly at an international platform. Looking at sanctions, looking at the relationship between Zimbabwe, the Western world, even Africa, Even when we start loving Zimbabwe now, even us Africans, there was even a point, I don't know where that narrative came from, we hated Zimbabweans. Even if they are our neighbors, they are our cousins, due to what happened in the early 2000 when the veterans of the struggle in Zimbabwe took over farms from white settlers. Then the country was hit into sanctions, poverty, Zimbabwean money collapse. Then they introduced Zim dollars. Zim dollar also collapsed. People started using US dollars for trading, because if you are using Zim dollar by then, you will be carrying a wheelbarrow going to buy a bration, one wheelbarrow full of money. You are going to buy a bration. It's just an indication to say they were hit economically. They were globally isolated. Even African Development Bank did not want to give its own son money. But now that Zimbabwe got into UN Security Council as a non-permanent member, it's not only something to be celebrated, it's also something that we should ask to say, what difference is it going to make? Although it does not have power like many others, what difference is it going to make? Is it a symbolic difference? What agenda is it going to push when it goes there? Is it going to be a preparation for, permanent seats and also influencing the decision of the world? But it's also, remember that it's also going to sit with the big boys such as Russia, USA, France, and China. And those are the countries that it's very difficult to punish them, because they sit with that tool, that is a veto power. If not all of them agree, then the decision will not be able to move forward. But looking at that context, also know that apart from global peace, there is a lot of things that need to be advocated for in Africa, especially the position of Africa. And the critical question that we should also ask ourselves is that, are we taking a symbolic seat, or we need to look into ourselves and transform our own continent? Do we need an approval from international platform as a continent, or do we need to make sure that we do things on our own without waiting for somebody to give us, an opportunity? Because there's a saying that if they don't want you to be on the table, create your own table. Is this the last attempt to be part of the table that people are not willing to accommodate you with? Or we need to look at the East and say, no, BRICS is a bit better. Because Africa is at the center. Africa is at the center. We are between BRICS and UN. And I'm asking myself, what happened to the Board of Peace? Did it continue? Or it was just a conference? And there is also an alternative. There is a Board of Peace that was established. But yeah, those are the conversation that we should need to enter to say, do we really need to be praised outside? Do we really need to fight to be part of the United Nations Security Council? Or we need to be content and do what we can do at home? Because problems are a lot that we can do. We can solve. Yeah, you can call back at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And also, we are speaking about the dinner table of the world. To say, when Africa is at the dinner table of the world, are we there as a chef, or we are part of the menu? Good morning.
David, good morning.
Yes, how are you?
Hello?
Yes.
Fine. Thank you. All right.
I'm well.
Well, Pindirane.
Today.
Today you came with fire.
You know Tiangono?
We're going to quench that fire.
No. You know what today?
I really trust. I am confident in you, honestly.
No, we must reduce the gear if you are driving too fast.
What the hell, Bondia? I have very great confidence in you.
Oh.
Honestly speaking.
So, why are you saying so? What? Yeah.
This kind of research.
Yeah.
And insight, just to explore. Well, I don't know whether, I don't know what kind of language. Maybe I must just be speaking my language in any platform. So, because I see that when they go to China,
yeah,
when they go to those countries, especially those who Latin,
yeah,
and those who speak that language, Greeks, that gives us more problems.
Yeah.
They speak in their vernacular language.
Mm-hmm.
They don't use English.
No, it's true.
English. English sometimes is a big problem. I want to say something.
Yeah.
I don't know what type of word in my language. It has been deprived from me.
But
now I'm forced to speak the language that people do not even understand.
But you know what is happening now, what the colonizer have done?
Yeah.
If we start speaking in our own language now, it's not only going to be so expressive, but there are also people that are not going to hear us. That is where the problem is. That's why you need to speak with them. Yeah, because we were forced to learn a language that that come from far.
Because not understood.
Yeah, if you speak Oshiwambo now, how is somebody who is speaking Kweko Kwab going to understand you?
And the people will be saying that, yeah, you can't even speak English.
Yeah.
The pronunciation, the accent, and all these other things.
Maybe we should start learning all the languages like what they do in South Africa.
Yes, I think that one is a very good thing because it's a policy.
Yeah, because you find...
it's a law.
Because you find Van Wyk there or a pure Boer meneer speaking Sizuru. Or Inkosa. You cannot... Yeah, you think... No, it's true. There's nothing like to say or translate. They speak or Venda.
It's your cup of tea. You know what, eh?
Yeah.
There was a time I decided, let me just go and study.
Yeah.
I resigned from my work.
Ah, yeah.
My wife was just a clerk.
Yeah.
And remember those years, my friend, when people were pouring to universities, UNAM and all this and that, I found myself in a very critical situation.
Yeah.
So I had to go out and then just say, let me just survive.
Yeah.
So all those kind of things. My brother, before I waste my time to tell you about my story,
yeah,
maybe just go to the Middle East, Iran and the U.S.
Yeah.
Thank God. God is also, you know, that's why I'm saying, I always say that sometimes you don't just feel that you are so powerful in everything. You understand?
Yeah.
And you go around bullying people. The grace of God, the mercy, sometimes can be rolled away from you. And the devil comes in. So we just pray that God will prevail.
Yeah.
To make sure that everything is neutralized.
Yeah.
I understand about the arrogance of Netanyahu.
Yeah.
So please, let's see how things will go. Because when we have been hearing about the history of the war here in our own continent, in our Namibian soil here.
Yeah.
So it started like that, but the people always realize and repent from their own making.
Uh-huh.
So now we are actually coming to the issue of Namibia.
Yeah.
I think you have been following about South Africa, Namibia.
Hold on.
it comes to managing your investments, should you rely on one expert or a team of specialists? With a multi-managed portfolio from Alex Forbes, your funds are guided by carefully selected investment experts, working together to pursue more consistent outcomes. We pair the right managers behind the scenes so you don't have to manage multiple relationships. Strengthen your investment destination. Visit alexforbes.com today. Alex Forbes Namibia is registered and regulated by NAMFISA.
Yeah.
So I don't think I have a lot to say today.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to agree with you. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to hear whether is it true that there are public and the international law where in on which we should to base our way of doing things. The only problem is that, are you busy with exam or what is it?
Who?
Yourself.
Why?
Because yesterday we were listening to the very wonderful program presentations from that time up to the end of the program.
Yeah.
And, I didn't hear your voice.
Which show?
Yesterday.
What time?
From 6 to 7.
Oh, no, it was business with Roy.
Oh, yeah. Never the rest.
No, it's only happened on Thursday.
Oh, only on Thursday. Mm.
No, I'm done with what? I'm done with the studying. I'm very old.
Please, lifelong learning.
Oh, you mean this? Okay.
This is the concept that I have come to learn, and I realized that even people who were learning those days, they actually adults,
indeed,
not the slave ones.
Yeah.
But those one who could be given some kind of freedom to learn.
It's true, education does.
I know how they were called, just instructor. So that's why I love adult education. And if we forget, if we neglect that concept of learning, we are going to be doomed for it.
Indeed.
So because, see, it is the education, that's an informal education, eh? The one that you pass knowledge to the generation, to the next generation, and all along, generation to come. It's not from the formal kind of structure, instruction of education.
Okay.
So what I was saying that is that we were talking about the commissioners, and which we have spoken about yesterday, or the day before yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
So you are always talking about the competence.
Yeah.
And when you were here, you were saying, fine, it's good that we understand about electoral process.
Yeah.
The one in our country here, because you are also talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and all the other issues connected to it. But now, what is your take on the issue of apparently unlimited power, and also the yesterday we also mentioned about why is it that you were given some kind of limitation, term limitation of the president.
Yeah.
So Zimbabwe in with the relationship of Zimbabwe and Namibia, I think by the time when I was around about 15 years old, we all already receiving support from Zimbabwe in our liberation struggle.
Okay.
Which, there are many countries, but I'm just mentioning Zimbabwe. This is where I came to know it. Mm-hmm. So we survived our struggle from Zimbabwe.
Now, that means, in terms of the topic, it means what? Because there is no doubt that Zimbabwe was center at the fighting for liberation in Southern Africa. But that should not justify that they should do whatever they want with their constitution, because that is not how things were supposed to be. Is that correct?
That's how are things supposed to be, actually.
No, changing the constitution based on personality. We discussed about this yesterday.
What do you mean by personality?
Whoever is there, if David is there, David must go within two terms. But if Uncle Bwana go there, he is doing very well. He must extend.
Is it not dependent on your character, the way you are performing, the way you are leading the people? Or what does it depend on? That yes, you should have a limit in your terms of, in terms of leadership or whatever.
Okay, let's just call back, ne? So we can also give opportunity to others.
Are you going to have a guest?
Let's come back after that.
Yes, because you cannot tell me that it's a personality, but the masses, the majority, are in agreement with the performance. Why do you have to remove the person who brought that limitation? I'll come back.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at the affairs of business and also the affairs of symbolic representation. Do you rather have a suit and not do anything, or do you rather be trusted of doing something even without a suit? And there are people in Namibia that choose a suit over tangible work. There are people also who choose, a corner office over, real impact and real progress. And also the issue of importance and also symbolic representation when you speak about Zimbabwe being part of UN Security Council. Is it going to be business as usual? Because the debate that is there is that, are we progressing as a continent? It's not about what we are doing. It's about, are we moving forward as a continent? The same question you can ask to Namibia to say, Namibia as a country, are we moving forward? Or the fight have just begun? Are we moving forward, or is it just a game of exposing each other? A game of court cases? And there is no stressed people than the judicial officers, because their work are becoming too much. And things are being revealed. And is our system going to be the same as for South Africa? Because there is always somebody who has to answer about almost everything. There is always somebody who has to answer. Because the question should be, are we progressing as a continent? Is Zimbabwe be part of UN a progress? Is Zimbabwe be part of UN Security Council as non-permanent a member, a progress, or is just another form of representation? And do we wait for external validation, or should we start doing it on our own as a country and also as a continent? And where is Namibia positioned in terms of that? Because currently, as you are speaking, it's not a crisis, it's not chaos, but it's worrying. Especially when somebody speak about the progress as a country. It's worrying also to see decisions that are being made but are not in line with the constitution. And you can also say that, are we all the same? Because when you look at what have happened last year, when we got our new cabinet, nobody who did not praise our new cabinet. Technocrats of notes, people were all praising to say, no, we got the best among the best, and we are very happy. After 6 months, no, just after 3 months, one minister is gone. After, you know, not even a full year, another critical minister is gone. Not gone to death, but taken to taken down due to something that we really have to look into again. But the question is that are those who trusted with their responsibilities in Namibia not willing to do their job effectively? But there's one thing which was stated currently by our Minister of Information, Communication and Technology, that is speaking about online harassment, that bringing about a lot of fear to politicians. It stated that online trolling and harassment are increasingly affecting how women participate in politics in Namibia, with some politicians says, the abuse have led to, you know, reduction in public engagement and anxiety. To me, although that is a valid point, being in politics, you must have a thick skin. It's not, you are not called a public figure for public entertainment, because you are dealing with almost everyone. And you must be ready for public criticism and also public embarrassment and public humiliation too. Because one thing that we see is that politicians who are not scared of being criticized, or who have been criticized, or in general just people who have public humiliated themselves or were criticized in public, they grow a thick skin. It's not something to say you should avoid problems, even at a personal level. If you don't get criticized, you will never grow anyway. You will not become strong. But there must not be a difference between criticism and abuse. But in the world of information, communication and technology, in the world of advancement in terms of AI, criticism will always be there. And public criticism, public humiliation should always be there. But is a character of a leader too, because you can't lead a country, you cannot lead a ministry, and you expect people to give you ice cream every day if people need services. And you don't need to count the numbers of insults people are insulting you, although they don't have right to do that. But people can express their views because of what needs to be done, especially in terms of service delivery. But that is a conversation of, you know, another day. Yeah, know that we'll be able to give you just shortly what is happening in the village, a newspaper. What do we have in our e-paper, especially for today? When it comes to agriculture, when it comes to information, communication, and technology, when it comes to application to universities, and also when it comes to, and there's a story of Telecom, you know what happened to Telecom, and also, you know, public and service that they give. At some point they apologize for poor service connection. The next thing you see, the CEO got another appointment, but that will come shortly, especially after this short commercial break.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25 Namibian. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99 Namibian. Get 2 kilograms of Surf hand washing powder for just $49.99 Namibian. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99 Namibian. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99 Namibian. You Save. Where else?
Business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bari heali nola natu heali bari no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bari o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
the
of its staff.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Looking at the Villager newspaper today, on top of the page of our e-paper is that Namibia Air feasibility study has been completed. Government to review the report to say the study was done on the feasibility of Namibia Air. And know that there is a proposed new Namibia airline, and that proposed new Namibia airline is coming with the name as Namibia Air, because the previous national airline was liquidated, and when you are liquidated, even your name is not coming back anymore due to the fact that it became unsustainable, and we have been living without a national airline. I think it's 4 or 5 years now. I've been living without the national airline. It's a long time now. And we are the only country in Southern Africa without an airline. I think in Africa too, even poorest countries such as Malawi, they still have an airline. I don't know what happened to us. Maybe in the world we are just... it's not only a public, it's not only a global embarrassment, but it also shows a lot about how we manage our resources. Because as I indicated, I don't believe much in motivational speakers, but there's one motivational speaker who said, if you find yourself at the age of 55 and you still do not have anything, it says a lot about your resource management. Can you also say this to Namibia to say, if you find yourself without an airline, it also shows a lot about your resource management. And it's not direct to anybody. It's just to us Namibians too. To say things that we do at a personal level can also affect things that we do at an institutional level. Because if we find ourselves without an airline, it tells us a lot about how we manage our resources, how we plan. If we prioritize paying individuals than progress, how will that work out? Because eventually you run out of money. You run out of money. But yeah, that is, I think, to say the feasibility study is done and to assess commercial or viability of reviving national airline under the name Namibia and A. It's done and, you know, have been shared to work and transport minister Ikone Kundi in parliament. And that has been shared by the minister in parliament. The country first airline was liquidated due to pile of debts from aircraft owners to airport operators and also others. Let's hope that it's not only about the study. And it's not something to celebrate really, because we must celebrate when we see that. We must celebrate when we see the operationalization of that. And there is also an indication that when you look at Ethiopian Airline, technical experts have been showing interest in assisting Namibia in establishing of the airline, which is quite a good thing. It's quite a good thing, but how can we manage our resources better? Because, and also one thing is also that we must not do it also because of pride. We must do it exactly if it's profitable. Because there are, I think, two politicians who at one point they said, no, it's not correct Namibia to be without an airline. We cannot just be without an airline. It's not about whether you can have or you cannot have. Can you have it? If you can have it and continue milking your money, is that going to help anything or is just going to worsen your situation? Because we don't need to do it because of pride. We must really have results to say, if we have a well-functioning airline that is profitable, then it's not going to give burden, you know, to the country. Now, when you look at page 3, there is an application to University of Namibia. Application for 2027 has now opened. I told you we are in the middle of the year. Application to University of Namibia has opened. For all undergraduate programs, they are opening. They have opened on the 22 of May, and closing at, 30th of September. And, the account is already here. In the world of technology, people are applying online, and you can just scan the QR code, and you will be able to get your steps. You can get your foot into University of Namibia. Some are calling it the UNAM of Namibia, one of the highest institution of learning. You'll be able to study and become a productive citizen. Page 4, artificial intelligence, carbon footprint flanked, the environmental cost of energy use, carbon, water, and the land footprints, a report from UN, University Institute for Water and Environment and Health, point to the impact of rapid global artificial intelligence development. That is what is, happening, especially regarding artificial intelligence and also development in terms of environment. Now, if you look at page 5, you can see that Telecom Namibia requires significant capital investment. That is CREN. There's been complaint about service provision by Telecom Namibia. At some point, the management of Telecom was summoned by CREN to go and explain themselves. But it also came to the point when CREN also realized that there is significant investment that is needed, especially looking at upgrading and also advancing the service of, of Telecom. And looking at that aspect is that in this current situation, when you speak about industrialization, when you speak about electrification of household by 2030, 70% of the household, in terms of service provision, in terms of internet connection, how many you know, institutions that have quality service provision, and when there is slowness in terms of that, how can they got assistance? And that is an indication from Grant to say there is huge investment that is needed, especially to upgrade the service of Telkom. Because being online these days, is becoming a human right. It's becoming a human right. Being online these days is not only becoming a luxury, but it's a serious thing, because most of the communication are being done online, and with that you need Wi-Fi, you need data, and you don't only need the data, you need fast communication. People are transferring money online, people are making business deals online, but if your internet is slow, you're not only delaying those people, you're also delaying the progress of the country, because you know, they are operating that platform. Page 6, you have Vunan block, you have Red Hot Deals that is looking at the mixed portion of Kadira chicken, 4 kg at $194.99. You have Back Pro Fat Cake Wheat, that is 10 kg, just at $139, and other many cheaper products that you can be able to get. Page 7 stated that 43 African countries met to discuss skill development. It's an article by my colleague Dwight Links that you look at African skills development, and also what are some of the key needed skills, especially in the 21st century, and also to look at the communication and also the representation of, you know, countries, especially in terms of Namibia, where are we standing? And when you are speaking about skills, what do we mean? Where are we standing as a country in terms of vocational skills? Where are we standing as a country in terms of skills of AI, skills of engineering, and also skills of investment, and also many other skills? But that is what has been stated. So let's look at a short commercial break. Come back shortly. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana unongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
its staff. The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And looking ahead, Looking ahead, page 8, Zimbabwe takes seat on UN Security Council, call for global peace. And that is one of the things that we were discussing today. And get it from page 8 and get the content of that communication. Yeah, page 9, we speak about Velvicia University. If you want to become a lawyer, advocate, magistrate, or prosecutor, or somebody who understands law, or you want to become a corporate lawyer, or you want to be a negotiator, or you want to be a deal maker, or you want to be a business person, and with the law, you can fit almost everywhere. Qualifications are being offered at Velvicia University, Bachelor's of Honors in Law, that is an LLB. Then you have also Bachelor's of Education in Secondary Education, Bachelor's of Education in Senior Primary, Bachelor's of Social Work, and also a diploma in Legal Studies, Level 6. Because sometimes you just want to become a legal researcher, want to become a legal clerk, or you want to be the person behind a successful lawyer. You need a diploma in Legal Studies. Then you study the basic understanding of the law, and you can be able to move forward, and that can only be done when you apply to Velvicia University. That QR code of the programs and explanation can be found at page 9 of the Villager newspaper. Page 10, WNOC announced Team Namibia for 2026 Commonwealth Games. And when you speak about WNOC, what do you mean? We speak about Namibia National Olympic Committee announcing the delegation that will be representing Namibia at the 23rd edition of Commonwealth Games at Glasgow in Scotland. Over 3,000 athletes representing 74 nations and territories will compete for top honors between 23rd July to the 2nd of August. And the president of NNOC, Dr. Deulipula Hamutuma, expressed that Namibia is going to bring fire the athletes who, you know, who have earned selection to the Team Namibia. We're congratulated. And it will be interesting to see. That will be interesting to see. I still, because if you look at, you know, the athletes that that are presented there, you have, you know, you have Lionel Kutsi, you have Elvis, you know, Kui Haseb, and also when you look at para athletes, you have Vanania Shikongo and the guide Evan Jivinju. Vanania Shikongo is a well-known Paralympic who won a lot of titles, including gold. But you also have swimming, where you have Jessica Olive, Twaepwa, and many others. Bolt, you have Amanda Steenkamp and Diana Vijon, and many others. I want to look at the boxing. I think we have a lot of young guys who are going in boxing. But we are yet to see what will happen. But the question is that what will happen? What's happening to our ladies? What's happened to Christine Boma? And also Masiringi? Because we expect them to be here. And also, what's happened to Junius Jonas? He retired, or what happened? Because in Namibia, what is interesting is that when the people are at the peak of their profession, you hear them, but they also just disappear from the public eye. Then after a few years, you can hear the person is back. The same with music. Somebody just give us a great hit. Then after 20 years, no, the person is coming back with a new album. But can we also have consistency in supporting those who have put the flag of Namibia on top? Because if we cannot locate Junius Jonas in the list, if I cannot locate him in the list of Commonwealth, in the list of Olympic, why can I not locate him in the list of professionals? What happened? If we cannot locate Christine Baum in the list of Olympics and Commonwealth, why we cannot see her in other lists? Those are critical things that we need to look at to say, for us to do well in terms of sport, we need also a continuation of supporting our own people, whether they are at their best phase or whether they are at their worst phase, because that is the only way.
Hello?
David?
Yes, sir. So you promised to come back?
Oh, since you hung me up up to now.
No, it's a good thing that you don't have any promise.
So, the voice of Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Memenetumbo and the others have been calling about that, those reforms. So they have been calling about those reforms, especially our own people here. Because you remember, since the when we petitioned, the forefathers petitioned the UN to reform that UN Security Council.
No, it's not reformed yet, because the position that they got is not the permanent position. It's not the permanent seat.
Yes, they have just been dodging about it. We are going to get a permanent one.
Okay.
So in 3 years' time, Africa will be their host, whether they like it or not.
Ne?
Thank you. Next, in 3 years' time,
yeah,
Africa will be housing all those European ones and all these other ones. Let's just arrange our own home here to accommodate them. And also give them some preconditions. Yes. Thank you very much. May we continue by six. Six, all right. We are around.
All right, thank you.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, that is an indication to say next time Africa is going to be the host. Yeah, but it's true to say Africa, we are not only the bystander anymore. We are not only forcing ourselves into the room, we are going into the room. And we are at a dinner table. The question is that when you are at a dinner table, what are we bringing about? Because the world has seen that it cannot live without Africa. There's no discussion without Africa. There might be some element that Africa is underestimated, but you also realize that it's also consistent in terms of resistance of how Africa should be treated, particularly at the global platform. Then, even though that is a good thing, is Africa treating herself correctly? Because we want to be respected by the world, but we respect our people. If you are beating our people up, if we are fighting in Somalia, if we are shooting thousands of people post-election in Tanzania, if we are running out of our countries in Madagascar, and if we are extending terms even by promising not to extend the term at not the continental media, at an international media, to say I'll respect the constitution and leave just after two terms, but we are doing exactly the opposite. If we are appointing our daughters and son-in-laws to cabinet, how is that the world is going to respect us? Because we must not cry for the respect that we are not giving ourselves. Until we come to the point where we show that we respect ourselves, then people will be able to respect us. Because it's not fair when we are still complaining about being colonized and we are not taking responsibilities of
what we could do. And yeah, the other news before we come to the end of our conversation, and before we come to the end of our conversation, it's also to look at our neighboring, you know, country. And when you are looking at people being fired in South African police, senior people being arrested in South African police, the question is that are you going to have a stable system? Because just recently, an organized crime head, Richard Shibiri, from South African Police Service, has been fired for bringing South African Police Service into disrepute. And that is just one of the things that is happening in South Africa. And people are indicating South Africa is a movie. Everything, you don't know what will shock you. It's a city. What have shocked you now? It will not shock you. Tomorrow you'll get another thing that's going to shock you. And there's also an indication that COVID-19 did not go. Because yesterday, the South African Minister of Trade, that is Park Tau, tested positive for COVID-19. And it could be that COVID-19 is still among us. And we must be ready to deal with it. Is it no more severe as it has been? Or what is happening? But there is an indication to say Park Tau tested positive for COVID-19. And that should not just scare you. It should tell you that you still have a lot of things that you have to deal with before you look at, you know, yourself to say COVID-19 is there in South Africa. You don't know about Namibia. You have COVID-19 here. You have poverty here. You have Ebola here coming from the side of DRC. Then looking at the cost at the logistic, you have the price of oil. And looking at home, you also have internal corruption. But managing of crisis is a skill that every Namibian must have. And managing of problems is a skill that every Namibian must have. But the most important skill that we have is embracing change and transformation of institutions. Because if we embrace change and we transform our institutions, it's not only that we are going to uproot corruption, but at least too, we are going to accelerate service delivery. And I'm very happy to, especially looking at what my colleague Michael Choveri will be able to discuss, looking at the delay, to ask those questions to say, who really delay progress? Because I'm always asking a question to say, when you have good policies in place, when you have educated people appointed, but there are no results on the ground, who sabotage Namibian development? Who is delaying Namibian students to get their refunds or their tuition fees and to pay school? Who is delaying our progress? If the money is there, expertise are there, agreements are there, but the results are still a question of debate. Why is it like that? And I think that will be critically explained and will be unpacked correctly, especially to find out where the problem is and how we should deal with such a problematic situation. Because if you are a student like us at that time, you depend much on NASFAF, and your life depends on it because you cannot even afford to fail. But the more they delay you, to fund you, to give you refunds or to fund your tuition, the more stressful you are. Some people end up doing hustling jobs. Some people end up some people end up not even going to school because of such delay. But I will be very interested to see and also listen, particularly who is blocking Namibia progress. So that will bring us to the end of our conversation. I'll leave you in the good hands of Michael Choveri from Ondangwa.